Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about, who am I? We're going to be taking a look at this question that God's people often ask. God gives them a charge. God gives them something to do, a step to take, and his people often say, well, who am I that I could do that? He gives them some impossible looking task often, and the question that comes out of almost everybody's mouth in the biblical examples we're going to see here is, who am I? And the real key is understanding it's not who you are, but that if God is giving you this charge, he's asking you to do something, the question is not who am I, but who's with you. God is with you. Almost always God says, I'm going to be with you. If we'll simply go, we'll make the commitment to just follow his leading and to go. He says, I'll be with you. So we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions, we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you want to learn more about this prayer, on our free tools and resources page at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, you can find some additional training that goes with this prayer and the other half of prayer. So it's about a two-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to examine ourselves, to get still and to listen, to prepare, and to position our hearts and minds before we get into our time of communion for today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son, that you've given us purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And just that you are with us, that you are with us, and you'll never leave us or forsake us. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people everywhere we go, but also all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to start going through the other half of prayer. Our first step, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus, into the kingdom of heaven. And that transfer happens through the forgiveness of sins. But that forgiveness and grace, it's got to flow through three levels. We have to receive it from God. We got to get it flowing through us. Often we are the kink in the middle. We're often in the way. We're putting all the pressure or the condemnation on ourselves. Think about this. Who am I? That's a question that's based on ourselves. We got to learn to get ourselves out of the way. Learning to get ourselves out of the way so that God's grace can flow. Because he's saying, it's not about what you can do. It's about what I can do through you. Because I'm with you. It's about what I can do through you. And nothing's impossible for him. But that grace and forgiveness has to flow. It means we got to release some things that we've been putting on ourselves, excess pressure, condemnation, expectations that we're not living up to. We got to release some of those things off of ourselves. And then we got to do the same for other people as well. Often we misplace the pressure and we put it on other people or ourselves, giving other people the same grace and forgiveness and mercy that God has given us, which means what? We have to release some things. We got to let go of some things that other people have done and just do continually good for them all the time. To walk in the light, where we just let go of ways people have wronged us and we walk in that continual state of love and grace and forgiveness. And I believe it leads to this beautiful life where you can respond to the pressure, the adversities, the wrongs of life in a beautiful way. And then once we're in the light, we got to begin to magnify that light. Think about magnifying. I'm concentrating it. I'm magnifying the light. How can I do that? By focusing on things that I'm grateful for. Focusing on things that I'm grateful for. Begin to thank and to praise God continually and put our focus on Him. In our lives, we can begin to magnify the light or we can begin to magnify darkness. It's all a matter of focus. What am I concentrating on? What am I focusing on? As I begin to just magnify and meditate on, God's with me. He's for me. He loves me. He has steadfast, unfailing love for me. Nothing is impossible for Him. He can make all grace abound to me. So having all sufficiency at all times, in all things, I can abound to every good work. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, redeems my life from the pit, crowns me with steadfast love and mercy, and satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You begin to meditate on these things and magnify them, make them bigger on the inside of you, rather than meditating and rolling over the problems in your mind, focusing on them, meditating on them, the problems, the bad things that are happening in the world, the evil that's happening. Which one are you more focused on? And it's going to show up as the fruit of your emotions. It's going to show up as the fruit of your mouth. You can tell by what you're talking about in any given day. So how are we doing in your emotions? Like I said, emotions are giving you clues on what you're magnifying, where you're putting the pressure in your life. Is the pressure on God? Because He can handle it. Or is it on you or other people? Where is the pressure? And when that pressure lifts and we get in faith, I like to think of peace and joy as my indicators. Jesus says, or it says in the Bible, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Peace is my indicator that I'm single-minded in my faith. I've rolled the pressure over to Him. I'm in the light. I'm magnifying the light. And I've got that supernatural peace. And it's like a light switch. It's either on and flowing or it's not. But sometimes things happen in life that get us focused on the other side and we lose it for a little while. We lose that peace and we lose that joy. I like to think of joy as my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment and aware of God's presence with you, with me, because He's with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Aware of that presence. And then as we get more present, here's the question that I've learned to ask. What do I know to do right now? What do I know to do today? If we're going to make a plan of the things that we know to do today, because we're getting more present, not the things I'm worried about here, not the things I'm still uncertain now on that I don't know what to do yet. What do I know to do today? Might be some things that need to get done, administrative things, things around the house, things in your workplace. But there might also be some things where God is prompting you or stirring you. He's giving you some charge. He's giving you some step to take. And you know to do it, but maybe we're procrastinating on it because we're asking this question, who am I? Who am I? Am I really capable of this? And the answer is probably no. You're not, but if God is prompting the question, He's saying this also. Not only who am I, but I'm with you. God's saying, I am with you. It's a matter of where is our focus? Is that pressure to take the step and to do the things that you know to do? Is that pressure on you or is it on God? Whatever He's prompting in your life, He's obligated to sustain it for you. He wouldn't tell you the step and then leave you and leave you to do it on your own. So what do you know to do today? And then as we begin to walk out our plan, it's about executing the things that we know to do, trusting that God's with us, that He's there to equip us and to empower us to do things in His strength, not in our own. And then finally, it's important as we begin to walk out our days to stay tuned in and listening, because occasionally He will course correct our path So taking a few minutes every day. I like to do it before bed and kind of recap the day. If you need to pause the recording, you can. Taking a few minutes every day to get still and to listen for his leading, listen for his voice on the inside. And you begin to do this day by day. You begin to get still, you listen, and I'll ask him the question, God, what is it you were trying to teach me today? Is there anything that I missed that you wanted me to get out of today? And then just get still and listen and write down an important piece of this, writing down, recording your journey. Write down whatever comes to mind. We just asked him a question. Whatever begins to come into your mind, just begin to write it down. And you begin to do this day by day, day by day. He begins to stack one lesson on top of the next. And his voice begins to lead you to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. You're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. He's going to lead you on that path. But yesterday morning, I was doing Bible study with my kids, and we started in the beginning of the Bible, and we started reading it like a regular book, just front to back. That's the way I typically read my Bible. If you've never done that before, I would highly recommend it. You'll get so much out of it that I just started doing it over and over again. So we started, and we're in the book of Exodus. We just finished Genesis, and God shows up, and he's speaking to Moses in the burning bush. And God tells Moses, I want you to go lead my people out of Egypt. Go lead my people out of Egypt. And the first thing Moses responds with is this question. Who am I? He begins to disqualify himself. God gives him this charge, this assignment to do. And immediately the pressure is on him. You'll see, he says, who am I? Then he starts to disqualify himself, saying, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. I can't do that. And God's response every time, I will be with you. I will be with you. And so I had my kids write this down on a piece of paper, this question, who am I? And the answer is, in our own strength, not much. The humility of saying on my own, I can do nothing. It's the Father in me that does the work, and he's going to be with me. So let's take a look at some of these passages. I'm going to make this just a little bit smaller here. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said what? I will be with you. That's Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I will be with you. Then we have the story of the people going into the promised land. Moses has them, God has them send spies into the promised land to go spy it out and check out the land. And they come back with a report and they say, it really is a land with milk and honey. Here's the fruit, and they've got grapes on a pole. But then they say this, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And those men began to spread among the Israelites a bad report. Some versions say an evil report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those that are living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. They're giants. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, which came from the Nephilim. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So God has given them this charge. Hey, we're going to go into the promised land. This land is going to be yours. But there's a problem. There's giants in the land. Moses is looking at the power of Egypt, the power of Pharaoh, and says, I can't do that. And God says, I'll be with you. God gives the people of Israel the charge to go in and take the promised land, to possess the promised land. But most of them would not go because they seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes. They're saying, who are we? Look at us compared to this problem that's out here. And God is saying the same thing again. I will be with you. It's not about what they could do. There's no way they could do this on their own. They had to come through God working with them and for them. So then we have the example of Gideon in the Bible. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Am I not sending you? Okay, very similar charge that he gave to Moses. Go bring my people out. Now he's telling Gideon, go save Israel from the hand of Midian. But Gideon replies, please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. But God replies, surely I will be with you. The Lord replied, and you will strike down all the Midianites as one man. Again, this question, who am I? How can I save Israel? My family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest of my family. How can I do it? Answer, you can't, but God will be with you. David says to Saul, Saul's going to give David his daughter in marriage. David asked this question, but David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my family or my clan in Israel? Look, the same thing Gideon says, that I should become the king's son-in-law. Again, he's asking this question, and it was a gift of God's grace. When Saul was about to be crowned king, he says a very similar thing. My family is the least of the tribes of Benjamin, and I'm the youngest in my family, or something along those lines. And God is saying, I'm anointing you as king. Saul, you can't do this on your own. I'm anointing you as king. Now we see that Saul falls eventually because he turned away from God. But it's this very simple concept. God gives us this charge, this assignment in life. How do we respond? It's not possible in our own strength. And most everything that I've seen that God gives us to do is impossible for us to do on our own. But he's with us. And nothing's impossible for him. So we're going to take communion over this today. And just receiving this from God, that whatever it is that he's prompting or stirring us to do, he will be with us. He's given us the strength and the equipping and the empowering and the plan and the strategy for how to walk it out. So we can simply say yes and follow his lead and wait for his timing. And he will be with you. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your purpose and grace that's given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That all of our days were written in your book. Just like Jesus, we've come to do your will, Lord. And we thank you that you are with us. It's not us that does the work. It's the Father in us that does the work. On our own, we can't do much. But with you, nothing's impossible, Lord. We just thank you for this bread and the juice and what it represents, that you were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us, that you loved us that much. If you would do that, how would you not freely give us all things and all things richly to enjoy? We thank you that nothing's impossible for you. Just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he told his disciples, take it, receive it. It's this opportunity when we take communion to bring the sacrifice of Jesus into the present moment, making it active and relevant in our lives right now. And receiving that he makes you right with God, that God is with you, he's for you, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He makes you right in God's sight. Makes you holy and perfect, and we can approach him with freedom and confidence. Thank you, Father. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Think about it. So forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. Covenant relationship with God. And I believe as we begin to walk out his plans and purposes for our life, and we see him working and flowing through us, helps us to know him better, to know his heart and his goodness and his love, to know him at a higher and higher level. So Father, we just thank you for this cup and we bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's simply about walking it out. What do you know to do? What are those things that God is prompting and stirring on the inside? Taking action, because we're remembering he's with you. And learning to roll that pressure onto him, to trust and rely on him, not to figure it out in our own strength, to trust and to rely on him to do the work within us. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.